Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to speak victory.
feels good to be back where I belong. I've missed this radio show, and I've missed you, God's people. Welcome to season two of the Jubilee Affair. Let's do this right. Hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, August 19th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, brought to you by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakeem Nuba.
Hello, hello, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you, Doc. It's so good to be back, man. I've missed you, man. I've missed this ministry. It's just a blessing to be here, Doctor.
Okay. Same here, sir. I'm glad to have you back and can't wait to hear how this show rolls out. I'm excited, and this is going to be fun.
Amen. Amen. And joining us, amen, is that mighty, mighty lion, the great deacon, Maurice. How you doing, brother?
He just hung up.
Oh, he hung up. All right. Well, I'll save his introduction to later, amen.
Yeah.
All right.
Deacon Maurice, if you're listening, please press 1. I'll get you back in.
Amen. Amen. Well, we will continue on. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can also tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. I always like to open up our show with a word of prayer. So let's start. Father God, we thank you for such a wonderful day. Blessings after blessings, Father, you have bestowed upon us, your people, Father. We thank you, Father, for first waking us up this morning in our right minds, Father, the ability to move our hands and our feet, Father, the ability to walk, Father, the ability to talk and to get up and to go into your church house, Father. What you've done today, you've never done before, Father, because this is a day we've never seen before and a day we will never see again, Father. So I just thank you for right now. I thank you, Father, for opening up my eyes, Father, to see your will and your way for my life. Now, Father, I ask that you will continue to bless this network, Father. Hold us up, Father. Give us what we need to have, Father, in order to be what you would have us to be. I ask, Father, that you will bless every host, Father, on this network, Father. Bless them and keep them, Father. I also ask that you will touch and bless Brother Hakeem, Father, as he is the lifeline, the spine of this network, Father. Through him, everything happens, Father. So I ask that you will continue to bless him and keep him in all the ways that he would have, Father. And anything that he needs, Father, that you will give it to him right now. Our leader, Sister Michelle, Father, that you will continue to touch her and give her new insights, Father, give her new ideas, Father. I ask that whatever she touches, be like Midas, Father. Give her the Midas touch. Let her, whatever she touches, turn to gold. I thank you right now, Father, and continue to bless me, Lord, your servant, Father. I'm not perfect, Father, but you are perfect, and I've tried and I strive to be more like you. So I thank you, Father, for all the times, Father, that you spared my life, for all the times, Father, that you blessed me when I didn't deserve it, for all the times, Father, that you looked beyond my faults and you saw the deeds. I thank you. Continue, Father, to show me. Continue to teach me. Lead me, guide me, and, Father, mold me. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Deacon, did we get the deacon back on?
He came back on, but he disconnected again. So
okay.
Hopefully he'll be back. And we'll get him back connected.
Amen.
Oh, here he is. Here he is.
All right. Yes, sir. Brother Deacon, you on?
Yeah.
All right. Good to have you, Doctor. Good to have you. Amen. I am excited. I am happy and full of joy. And I hope that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. When I say that, I truly mean that. I love God's people. I love those who are close to me. I love my family. I love the strangers. I love my neighbors. I love everybody. And I would give the shirt off my back for a stranger at any given time. If it was God's will, and even if God did not tell me to do it, I would do it. Because I know that's the right thing to do. Remember this. Whatever you do in this life, wherever you go in this life, God sees everything. God knows everything. There are times in this life that we want to stay where we are. But God is calling us higher. God is calling us higher. God is calling us to go higher, to do greater things. And we have to be obedient. We don't always want to do what God has called us to do, but we know that at the end of the day, it's a blessing for us. So I wanted somebody to remember that. Somebody needed to hear that today, that there's a blessing. Y'all know they always say there's a blessing at the end of the rainbow. Well, there is a blessing waiting for you when you are obedient to God's word, God's will, and whatever God tells you to do. There's a blessing waiting for you. Amen. And this goes into a testimony that I have. 4 rules to healthy spiritual living. Only 4 that I find. 5 maybe, but I'm going to stick with this 4. Keeping the faith. Keeping the faith means that regardless to what is going on around me, that I will keep my faith in the Lord. Sometimes, y'all, God says, you know what, not right now. When God tells you not right now, he expects for you to say, yes, Father, I'm going to keep going until you say it's time. Staying on the right track. There's so many things that try to pull us off the track, the narrow way. There's so many things that wants to see us fall. Satan wants to see us fall so that he can rub it in God's face. 3 is do not give up. Never give up on God, because God did not give up on us. When we all should have been in the pit of hell, he sent his son to save us, to bridge the gap so that we could run back to God's loving arms. Allow God to see you through. We all go through things. We all have issues. We all have problems. But allow God to see you through. You see, when you put your hand in God's hands, you are automatically the victor. You are automatically the one who wins. You are automatically set on top. You are not the tail. You are the head. When you allow God to come into your life, when you allow God to fight your battles, when you allow God, come on somebody, when you allow God to step in, what you're saying is, God, I can't do this. I can't even hold this. This is too much for me, but I trust and believe that you can do it. And I serve a God that can do all things. So if I serve a God that can do all things, that means that my God will supply my needs. That means my God will see me through. That means that my God will be my covering in the midst of everything that goes on. Amen. So these are the things that, these are the four rules that I hold on to healthy spiritual living. Keep the faith. Stay on the right track. Do not give up. And allow God to see you through. If you start with those four and you add to it, you will see blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings. Try it and see. Walk away from that which is negative and bad to the soul and deadly to the soul. But rather align yourself with that which loves you. That's for you. That's for somebody. Align yourself with God and see what he will do for you. But be patient. Be unmovable. And be steadfast. Amen. I would like to start a new segment on today called the Deacon's Word. And Brother Deacon Maurice is a wonderful teacher of the Word. And so I told him I would give him a few minutes to expound on a subject that was dear to his heart. So for a few minutes, everybody, let's turn it over to our good brother, Deacon Maurice. Have at it, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Practicing real love was the Sunday school lesson today.
All right. Real love.
What is real love? Humble yourself. To be of the same mind means to be in humble and at peace with one another. This does not mean we will always be in complete agreement with other believers on every issue, even those who are members of the same congregation. Sadly, many churches are like the Corinthians congregation, torn apart by division. This is often the result of power, suggestions, personality, and performance in worship style or church policies. While we all have our options about such things, they should not divide the body of Christ.
Amen.
Questions. Why is it so important to live in a Christ-like manner?
Amen. I would say that it's important to live in a Christ-like manner because if we desire to see Christ, we must be like Christ. We must be like Christ in all that we do in order for us to be able to see the glory of Christ.
These are questions I'm about to ask. What is meant by love without what does it mean to be patient in tribulations?
Amen. Patience in tribulations, that's when you have to endure all things, because once we endure and we count it all as joy, we're able to see that God was actually protecting us the whole time. Many times in our walk, we deal with tribulations and problems and situations that come upon us, but God is so just to protect us when we think that we're actually strong when we believe that we're the ones that's getting us through. We actually find that when we look down, that God was actually carrying us the whole time. So being patient is saying that I believe in God, that God will pull me through, and nothing, no hurt, harm, or danger will come my way.
How did Paul suggest that an enemy might be destroyed?
Well, by love. Jesus said that if you love your enemies, you'll make your enemies your footstool. So you can overcome an enemy by love. And what that means is, it doesn't mean physically destroying them. It means turning them to be like you, destroying the evil habits that they have, destroying the evil mindset that they have, destroying their evil actions by utilizing the love that's inside of you through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Why is it important to live at peace with others?
It's important to live at peace with others because who wants to live a life of hate and a life of strife? Christ lived at peace with everybody. He loved everybody. Now, not everybody loved him, but he loved everybody. And so, and there were times that he dealt with a lot of issues. There were times where he dealt with sleepless nights. He was lonely. He went home. What at the end of the day, he had a peace that surpasses all understanding, and that peace was God. So we have to show and exhibit the works of God at all times. When we do that, we can live at peace with everybody. And don't get me wrong, there are times when people come upon us and there won't be any peace. But it's how you treat that person. You can still have peace within your heart, even though all hell is going on around you. And so in order to live a peaceful life, we must exhibit a peaceful life. We must show that there is peace, that there is love, that there is harmony within us. And then from there, it will be infectious to everybody. And thus, you know, it may not happen that day. It may not happen the next day, but eventually peace will reign within your house and within the confounds of other people. Amen.
What should our attitudes be toward the poor and lonely? Why?
Well, our attitude should be that we should be a help. I say every Sunday, to be a shoulder to those who need somebody to lean on. Our job is to help them, to comfort them, to bless them, a word, a thought, a word in action. We can speak it, and it's by our actions, what we do, what we physically do. When somebody is lonely, when somebody is hurting, it is our job to be a covering for them, just like God is for us. We are to exhibit the love that God shows us to each other. By doing so, we open up the floodgates of heaven on our lives and their lives. When they become more grounded and able to see their way through the situation that they've gone in, together then we can praise God.
Explain the challenges that arise when we bless people who persecute or curse us.
The blessings, for if we love those who persecute us, we become the victors. The natural order of things says that if somebody comes and slap me in the face, my natural order says that I'm supposed to slap them back. When somebody spits upon me, it says that I'm supposed to spit upon them. But that's not the God order. God orders for us to be peacemakers, to be peacemakers, and if we are peacemakers, we will receive the blessings. So when you are being persecuted on your job, in your house, in your neighborhood, being bullied, pray. Pray for those who spitefully misuse you. Pray for those who hurt you, who persecute you, who tears down your spirit. Pray for them. The best thing that you can do when somebody is hurt, is being hurtful to you, is to pray them away from you, or pray that God will change them. Many times in my life, I have prayed people right out of my path. Right out of my path. And I tell you, it works. You have to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, good deacon. We appreciate this time. Amen. As we continue on, I look forward to next week. Amen. And the questions and the good word that you will have then. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As we get ready for this word, let us have a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for using me. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. I honor you. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture will come out of 1 Peter chapter 5. Beginning with verse 4, and it reads, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger men, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and give grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. But be sober, but be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that you are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. For a subject today, are you eating at the table or are you on the menu? I have to say that I felt a bit of comfort from the scripture. It made me think back to a time in my life when I thought I was grown, but in all truth and actuality, I was not. As I surrendered myself to the scripture, I felt as if I was picked up and placed on my grandfather's knee, looking at his big, bold eyes and hearing that thundering voice speak words of wisdom into my life, words that I would not understand at that time, but as I became a man, these words would bring comfort, love, and peace to my existence. Revelation 2:7 states, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him that overcomes. I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Peter, now being a well-seasoned in age, wanted to remind the people of his time and the contemporary church that trouble don't last forever. That if we desire to see our way out of the entanglement of sin, that we must be willing to open ourselves up to the power of the one who died so that we may live. Peter reminds us that because we are flesh, because we are human, and because we make mistakes, that we must cast all our cares on Jesus. For Jesus cares about us. In other words, there is nothing too big or too little that God cannot handle. Oh, somebody pray with me now, amen. Think back, my family and my friends, to a time that you were on Grandpa's knee. And he would always tell you what he wanted you to do, but in the next breath, he would warn you of what would happen if you did not do what he asked you to do. Peter, in all his brilliance, urged and challenged the church to remain Christ-like regardless to what it may look like, regardless to what the outcome may be, and regardless to what is done to the people and the leaders. Remain humble and steadfast, sober-minded and vigilant. For when you allow yourself to fall in any of these areas, Satan will be right there like a ravenous lion ready to pounce. So please allow me to repeat my subject. Are you eating at the table or are you on the menu? Peter's illustration of what can happen if we choose to step outside of God's will was downright scary. In fact, we can all agree that Satan doesn't mind us being Christians. He doesn't mind you not being a Christian. But what he loves is that Christian that teeters the fence. I'm touching on somebody's toes. You see, the reason why Peter used this illustration of a lion is due to the fact that the lions would sit and wait in the thickest for the people to walk past and would jump out and devour them. The lion would devour whatever was in his path, men, women, and children, attacking them at their most vulnerable times. Don't that sound kind of familiar? In those days, a lion posed more threat than human interaction. And in this modern era, the lion still poses more threat than human interaction. However, it is the human that gives this supposed lion its power. Every time Satan whispers doubts, every time he suggests fear, and every time he tries to throw shade and we allow it, we are giving him the power that God placed in us, and we get up from the table of grace, leaving our food to be like our souls, stale and cold, and without knowing, we have just become food for the lion. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13 declared, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is as common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." But I'm here to let you know that do not forget who you are and whose you are. We are the church, the light on a hill that cannot be hidden. You are a child of the crucified one, the anointed king, the king of kings and lord of lords. We serve the man that defiled all earthly laws by walking on water. He gave sight to the blind, life back to the dead. He was tempted at times. He had lonely days, sleepless nights. And every time he turned around, it was something. They tried to steal his praise, kill his motives, and strangle his authority, but he did not stop. Satan wanted to devour him, and if you call yourself a Christian, then he wants to devour you as well. But you do not allow him to steal your joy. You do not allow him to steal your praise. We are dropping off like flies. Why? Because we got up from the table of grace and placed ourselves in the lion's mouth. But be ye comforted. I stand with you. There are times in my life that I have experienced heartache, that I have experienced pain, setbacks, and throwbacks. Things that I have deserved were taken out of my hands and placed into those who don't even deserve it. But in Matthew 26:41, Jesus declared to watch and pray that so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh
is weak. Let's be honest. There are times that our spirits are weak, when we become spiritually shut off due to the lack of participation at the table. Hebrews 4:15 declare, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but the one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet he is without sin." I urge you, I beg you, I am pleading with you to reclaim your rightful place at the table. Do not give up and do not give in. You are the church. You are the greatest entity known to this modern era. If the church falls into temptation, then what hope is there for the future? But instead, remember that the words of Peter, to be vigilant, to be steadfast, to be sober-minded, clothed in humility. Let me put it another way.
Oh, yes.
When we were at Big Mama and Big Daddy's table, you could not sit at Big Mama and Big Daddy's table any kind of way. You had to have the right type of posture. You could not play video games or any type of games at the table. You had to eat your food a certain type of way. And when you started acting up, if Big Mama didn't pinch you, the look from Big Daddy set you straight. Well, we are at the table. On one end, there's no Big Mama, but there's grace. And at the other end, there's no Big Daddy, but there's mercy. And we, my friends, are stuck dead smack in the middle. Do not allow this precious gift to be taken from you. Instead, I urge you to eat from the table. Get full on Jesus. Ephesians 6:11 tells us to put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, just as Jesus did. And since we are talking about my Jesus, let me remind you why I sit at the table of grace. My Jesus was conceived miraculously. He was born in great humility. Later on, he was reared senselessly, obscurity, but he lived victoriously. He ministered compassionately, and he died sacrificially, but he was resurrected gloriously and ascended bodily on that great day, will reign supreme eternally. He is my God, my King, my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my refuge, my provider, my strength, my defender, my protector, my peace, my joy, my life, my all. He's my everything. When I have eaten all that I can eat at the table, I find myself with a sweet tooth. And to curb that appetite, I feast on the name of Jesus, for it is the sweetest thing that I know. Revelation 12:12 says, "For this reason, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having a great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." And I'm here to let you know, I challenge you to look within and to ask yourself, are you eating at the table or are you on that menu? If you find yourself on that menu, then I urge you to get yourself right with Christ. I urge you to align yourself that which has love for you. I urge you to sit down all the things that causes you to be separated from God. Because if you really want to know what hell is all about being separated from God. And when you find yourself getting up from the table of grace, you have now just become food for those lions. You have now become food for the lions, and all they're going to do is eat your bones and eat your flesh. But I'm here to let you know right now that God has a covering for you. God has protection for you against things that try to kill us, the things that try to deter us. I want to know right now, what are you going to do? What are you doing? Aren't you homesick? Aren't you tired of seeing your soul in distress? Aren't you tired of finding yourself wandering and wandering and wandering with no peace? Aren't you tired of all the mess, all the strife, the headaches? Oh, yeah, I'm talking to you, the headaches. Aren't you tired? All you got to do
is grab that chair and sit at the table of grace. Sit at the table of grace. Allow God to feed you. If you allow God to feed you, you will eat on bread. You will eat on the blessed body and the blessed blood. And you will never be hungry. And you will never thirst. But all you have to do is to take your position. Sit at the table. Let the Lord have his way in your life. Let the Lord fix it. You wonder why you're going through it? Because you're trying to figure it out yourself. But God says that my people who are called by my name will let me fight their battles. Sit at the table of grace. Let the Lord do his perfect work in your life. And see, don't you come out the victor. It don't matter if you're in the lion's mouth right now. The lion may have devoured half of your body and you're clinging on to life. But I guarantee you, if you reach your hand out to the God, if you ask Jesus to save your life, he'll come down. He'll pull you out that lion's mouth. And he will give you a new body, new legs to walk, new arms to move, a new way of talking, a new way of breathing. You will walk around with your head up high. You will walk around saying, I know that I'm a Christian and I'm saved by grace and mercy, and glory be to God through Jesus Christ who strengthens me every day that I walk this earth. No longer being food for the lions. What do you choose on this day? What did you choose? I'm like Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house,
we will
serve
the Lord.
I don't care what happened yesterday. I don't care what happens tomorrow. I'll let tomorrow deal with itself. But as for me and my house right now,
we'll
serve the Lord. So what did you do? You got the word. It pierced your heart. How do you respond? Do you respond in love? Or do you say, that young boy don't know what he's talking about? Choose this day. Are you eating at the table? Or are you on the menu? Amen. I always like to close out my sermon with a chance for anybody who don't know Christ. I like to offer Christ to you through the door, which is Jesus Christ. If you want to know Christ, pray this prayer with me. Father God, I love you. I ask that you would come into my life. Lord, forgive me of all my sins, for I am a sinner. Lord, I ask that you will come into my life and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you lived. I believe that you died. And I believe that God raised you on that third day. I believe that God raised you from the dead. I want to know more about you. Fill my life with your love. And I promise to show somebody else that same love. I am yours. You are mine. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you sincerely meant it in your heart, salvation now belongs to you. If you prayed that prayer and you sincerely meant it, you are now in the fold of faith. That means that right now, if you sincerely meant that prayer, if you sincerely turned your life over to God, that means that if you died this very second, that you will go unto heaven. That's good news. So I'm here to let you know right now that if you believe that, then I urge you to find you a Bible-based church. To find you a church. Learn from the scriptures. Be ye baptized and live a life worthy of being called a Christian. Amen.
as we wind down, amen, I always like to leave a few minutes for those who are in the on the phone, and if you want to have a word for us, amen, now is your time. Now is your time, amen. Brother Hakim, do we have anybody on the lines that may want to give a word?
Yes, we do. First up is Brother Darius.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening, Brother Darius. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair, sir.
Yes, I'd like to piggyback off your sermon and tie it to what we discussed in a Sunday school lesson in my church.
Amen.
Yes, we discussed a little bit about love, and I mentioned that in spite of what family members do, you still got to love them in spite.
Okay.
And you can forgive them, and
mm-hmm.
they probably may not know it. It may take months. It may take a year or two. But as long as you weigh that burden off you, instead
Amen.
Of pardon that anger.
Amen. 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 You have to love everybody. You have to. It's important. It's important.
Yeah.
Some people may not understand why you love them, but when you love them, you will find that it is the greatest thing ever.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Darius, for that insight, and thank you for sharing, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Amen. Yeah. All right, brother.
Yeah, amen. We got another one coming up.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, ma'am.
This is Speaker Shell. That was a powerful message. I'm
Amen.
Sitting here with a group of people and say hi, everybody. And we're listening to the word.
Amen.
That was
Amen.
Powerful. And I have a lot of questions that this show is not going to be able to. So I will be having a separate conversation in regards to sitting at the table or being on the menu. You know,
all right.
When you find yourself at the table. When you find yourself on the menu, how you get from off the menu into the right seat in the presence of the Lord? So I'm gonna have to have a separate conversation with you because that was powerful. The other thing is I have a special prayer. I'm calling in. I'm sure she's listening to Miss Charmin Seals. She's a business partner of mine. She shared with me last night that her daughter is pregnant with her child. I think she's in her fourth or fifth month. And she has, you know, the way technology is now, they can look at the chromosomes, they can look at the baby's face, you can see everything with the baby. It's like looking at a regular picture. And this baby, this is her first baby. She's like 23, 24 years old. Good kid, doing what she needs to be doing. And this baby has been, excuse me for not having the right terminology, medical terminology, but this baby has a 13 chromosome.
Okay.
She may have six fingers. They count
okay.
six fingers. She has a cleft palate. when she's born, they're not expecting for the baby to live very throughout the day. I forgot what the medical terminology is, but what I told Charmin was that the doctors see that, and, you know, she'd never heard of it before. It's like a very rare that happens. There. One out of 10,000 cases is very rare that this happens. But the baby, and then they know it's a girl, but I said, Charmin, you know that God has the last say. I don't care what
Amen.
The doctors say. I don't care what the 3D picture shows you. God has the last say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, this is a test in faith, and
mm-hmm.
if it is God's will that baby is going to be here, and Charmin was like, you know, I don't care if the baby got Down syndrome, I don't care if the baby got six fingers, you know, all that can be worked out. I said, I absolutely agree. I said, but in regards to the child not living, regardless of what the cases were, some other friends that you know that the mothers had this situation, a couple of people that you know that went through this and their baby didn't make it, you have to know that God's will is the last say. And if the baby, for whatever reason, don't make it, that's because that was God's will. But you have to have faith in God and what he has to say and not what the doctors are having to say. So I asked that I told her, and she's in Detroit, by the way. I told her that I'm going to ask my pastor, my network pastor, to pray on Sunday for this baby and continue to pray. And her daughter, the other thing I need you to pray for is, and for all of us to continue to pray for, is that this baby girl, her daughter, is feeling suicidal. She's feeling like, why me? You know, all that. And she has to carry the baby to term, knowing the baby's kicking and doing all those things, knowing that this baby's not going to live. She's made reservations. She's made, preparations to have the baby cremated and all that kind of thing, just in case. We need to pray for her as well. So I ask that we listening, those that have called in, those that are on the show tonight, please pray for Charmin Steele's baby, granddaughter, that God's will come to fruition. And if it's his will for that baby to come out alive and live, that we have faith that we believe in him and what he has to say is going to be the last say.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me say this to this young lady and Sister Michelle. I give you all permission to give this young lady my number so that I can meet with her wherever she is here in Detroit, and I can pray with her face to face. Secondly,
okay,
let me also share real fast with the audience. My mother was told that she could not have children. My mother was told that any child that she had would die. My brother came out was premature, and so was I. But look at us now. They said
mm-hmm.
that if we live through the night, then we may have a fighting chance.
Right.
But look at us now. Father God, right now, I just ask that the same blessings, Father, that you showed my mother on that great day,
mm-hmm.
that you would show this mother on that great day. Bless her, Father God. We know that it's a struggle. We know that there is pain. We know that there is fatigue, Father. But strengthen her right now, Father. Strengthen the grandmother. Strengthen the daughter, Father. Strengthen the daughter that's to come, Father. And I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that you will fix anything that's not right, Father. You have the ability right now, Father, to fix it, to turn it around, Father, to make it right, to remove the works of the enemy, Father. Whatever that's going on in this situation, Father, we ask that you would fix it, Father. Actually, right now, Father, I give up any blessing that I have for that unborn child, Father, right now, that this child may come out healthy, this child may come out vibrant, this child may come out without any ailments, Father, that this child will have a long life, Father, that this child will praise your name, that this child will come out a preacher among preachers, Father God, that this child will come out with an anointing on them that has never been seen before, that right now, Father God, that this miracle baby will come out being a miracle and a blessing to everybody whom she come in contact with. I thank you right now, Father, for her life. Let it be extended, Father. Let your angels have charge over her, Father. And the mother, Father, wipe the tears from her eyes, Father. Fix this situation. We're not asking, Father God. We're expecting you to move right now. Show us, Father God, why we praise your name right now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You, Pastor.
Yes,
you.
Ma'am.
I want to get her information to you. I think she's listening right now, but she's been, you know, it's one thing to have to be, to know that this is going to happen to your grandchild, but to also keep an eye and know what to say, what words to give to your child who, you know, just understand why this is happening to her, so on and so forth. So I will pass her information on to you tonight, and hopefully, you know, she's still got, what, four? They're thinking about inducing it because that's too much for, you know, a person to be going through, you know.
Amen.
Still, even with the doctors, you know, still, even with that, it's still you know, inducing it or the baby or not, it's still God has the last say.
God has the last say.
What the doctor say?
Amen.
And she said that.
Amen.
Sherman said that. She said, but Michelle, you know, the doctor showed me this, and I believe that I prayed. She said, and the people, everybody said the same thing. I said, but you got to pray and you got to know that that's his will, and you gotta accept it either way, but don't go solely on what the doctors have to say. So I want to make sure she gets your information. You got to bear with me. I'm in transition. Get your information, and she's there in Detroit. Have her reach out to you. Maybe you can visit her daughter and everything and pray with her and do what
yes,
you do.
I will. Amen. I'll surely, it will be my pleasure. Amen. All right, as we got just a few more minutes, Brother Hakim, is there anybody else on? Amen. Before we
Hello?
Close out this. Yes, sir.
Hello, Reverend Townsend.
Yes, sir, Brother David. Yes, sir. How you doing?
Yes, fine. You again, Reverend, have me in tears because the fact is that either we're at the table or we're part of the menu. And if we're being devoured by the negative forces of fear, hate, and negativity, we find ourselves in a black hole. And as children of God, made in the image of God, that's not God's intention. Jesus wants to serve as a template, a pattern in which we can base our lives and have supreme power over this domain. Now, to really reach and develop our potential, we have to be centered in love because by definition, that's what God is. God is love. So he, through the demonstration in Jesus' life, what as an example of how our lives can turn out by walking the path that Jesus walked, we can transcend and make the resurrection in our life if we would adhere to the basic truth of living as a Christian would live, as Jesus told us how to live, by loving each other as he loves us and by serving in the community, giving from our hearts in all sincerity. And by doing this, our soul will evolve and move forward. And by doing this giving, we receive because we move to a higher level of bringing and manifesting heaven right here on earth. And as we receive these blessings, it's verification that we're on the path and doing the right thing. So I thank you so much, Reverend Townsend, for this earth-shattering message that you gave us. It certainly had an effect on me.
Amen.
And I mean, you know, it's very transforming, your messages. And I want more people to tune in and listen to you. So each one, teach one. Each one, tell your friends, neighbors, and family about Reverend Townsend and have them listen to his uplifting message. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen.
Okay, bye.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother David. Okay. Amen. As we prepare to close, I want you to remember to serve God with all your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. Step away from that which is evil and cling to that which is good. On behalf of Brother Deacon Maurice, the good brother Hakim Nuba, this is Pastor D. Townsend. You have listened to the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off. Until next week, God bless.